Hello? Hey, I'm here. Good morning, everyone. My name is Barbara Anderson. I'm a very grateful Al-Anon. Thank you so much, Sonia. I love that song. This is our sixth annual Woodstock of the South, and I'm very happy to have all of you here. And that's the sixth time I've heard that song. The first 2 years we actually met were at Calloway Gardens, some of y'all remember, and we all went to the Butterfly Conservatory right after this meeting, which is kind of how this became called the Butterfly Meeting. But as my former sponsor, Ruth, who was there when they voted on the Al-Anon symbol, it got down to three. There was the butterfly, and there was the triangle with a circle on it that we have today, and there was a coffee cup. My sponsor at the time was a butterfly person, and she was heavily in favor of the butterfly, the triangle with a circle won, but she actually gave me her prototype of the coffee cup before she died. So anyway, I'm glad we're not the coffee cup people, though. Today we're going to be talking about the gift of acceptance, and I have just a wonderful panel and a very special treat for you as Mary Pearl is with us, and she's going to join us today. So she is not on the program, but we're just tickled pink that she was here and joining us. In thinking about acceptance, I thought about this season and accepting gifts. And think for a minute, how many gifts have you received over the years? How many have you unwrapped? How many have you have been given to you? I remember the one that someone didn't accept. I once had an administrative assistant, and I had gone on a trip, and I came back from Arizona with one of those little Cocopelli statues on a rock, and I had given it to her, just a little thank you, and she was not in a good mood that day, and she said, you think you can buy me off of this, and threw it at me, and I kind of remember that gift. It sits on my desk. I actually almost brought it with me this weekend, but so you could see it. But it sits on my desk to help me remember how important it is for us to also learn how to receive and accept, and that gift of acceptance. Learning about acceptance in Al-Anon was for me to learn what my job was and what my job wasn't, and I don't really have a lot of jobs. Pretty much my responsibility is to take care of me. And I heard early on to put a hula hoop on, and anything inside the hula hoop was something I had responsibility for, and anything outside the hula hoop was something that I had no business dealing with at all. And I'm going to tell you one story, and then I'm going to pass it on to the rest of these lovely ladies this morning. Many of you have heard this story, but this is a gift of acceptance story. When I first got married, I married a man who was 34, and he had never been married before, and he'd been engaged many times, but he had never been married, and he had lived alone most of the, well, I don't know, he probably lived with people off and on, but he had developed all those habits that you develop when you live alone, and one of them was the toilet seat, and he just could remember to put it down, and I'm not going to try to create any arguments today, but if I do, come this afternoon to hear Polly and Dave, and they'll fix it all. So, anyway, I mentioned it to my sponsor one too many times, and she said, I want you to try something for me, and I said, what? And she said, you have to agree to try it before I tell you. This is always dangerous. And I said, okay. And she said, I want you to put the seat back up for him. I said, you want me to do what? And she said, I want you to put the seat back up for him. And I was livid. I couldn't believe she had tricked me this way. But anyway, I decided, you know, she said I couldn't talk to her about it or anything unless I tried it. So the first time I tried it, I threw the toilet seat back up, and I almost broke the back of the tank. There was a little tiny crack in it afterwards. But I just started doing it, and it got funnier and funnier because it took Dick almost a month to notice. And so, you know, I know coming out of the bathroom giggling was probably a symbol, something was going on. Anyway, finally he said, have you developed some kind of new unusual bathroom habit? And I said, no, honey, I'm just putting the seat up for you, and it's never been important since then. So the lesson of the toilet seat is, for me, a lesson of acceptance. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to Linda.
Thank you, Barbara. My name is Linda Bazans, and I am a very grateful member of the LNN Family Group. Sonia, thank you. I love that song, and I love you. And you do it so well. Acceptance. I am glad Barbara chose this because this is probably my favorite topic and my hardest thing to do is to accept when things are not going the way I would like them to go. Growing up, I was an only child, and I was told from as long as I can remember how important I was and how much my parents loved me. And as a result of that, you get your way a lot. Things in our home went pretty smoothly because most of the time they wanted to know what I would like to have happen. And I got used to that, and I started to count on that. Now, I'm smart enough to realize that as you go out into the world, that doesn't always happen. But I still had the expectation sometimes that it would happen more frequently than it did. I woke up this morning with the idea of, I'm always afraid when I do this, and I have a lot of fear around speaking with this in my hand and sitting up here in front of all of you. But I woke up and I was starting my meditation, and then I thought, well, I'll just get ready. And somewhere in the middle of that, I got a migraine headache. And thank goodness I had put my makeup on, because as you all know or don't know, I like to look good. And at least I had my eyeliner on clearly before I got the visual impairment. So I think I look pretty good. I don't know how I'm going to come out looking. Oh. That's a perfect example of acceptance, and I'm done now. Thank you. But I thought, isn't it interesting, one more time, that's probably the first time I've ever had that happen prior to speaking. I've had it happen leading meetings and teaching, but I never had it with speaking. So I thought, well, I guess I'll just have to reframe that. And that's sort of my gift of acceptance. When I was going back to being a child, I think I really felt pretty good about myself until I was about 7. And when I was 7, I got glasses. And I think I was the only one in our class that got glasses or had them at that age. And I felt just really, really like the ugly duckling. I was also skinny. And so there were a lot of jokes about, you know, turn sideways, stick out your tongue, and you'll look like a zipper, which is pretty mild compared to what people would probably say today. I'm pretty grateful I grew up when I did. But I started to not feel good about myself, and I started to feel somewhat like the ugly duckling. And so I had to learn about acceptance from a young age. At home, things were good, but at school, and I had good friends, and I think I was a good friend. And I don't think other people viewed me the way I did, but I did feel ugly, and I felt less than, and I didn't like myself very much. As time went on, I got involved with an alcoholic and fell in love with him and married him. And I still, to this day, have trouble feeling that I should have to accept his alcoholism. And the reason for that is I'm so grateful for his alcoholism. I'm so grateful for what alcoholism gave us. I'm so grateful for his and my recovery. And yet, you know what, as I look back on it, alcoholism changed me a lot. We got sick in our house because of alcoholism. And it wasn't just Bob, it was me. It took its toll on me. I gave myself up cell by cell to a disease that I didn't even know the profound impact it had. And so I guess I've had to accept the illness, and I've had to accept the ripples and the way it has affected us, and clearly the way it's affected our family. And we've been blessed with sobriety almost 47 years. This coming Wednesday, it will be 47 years that Bob will have sobriety. So it's hard for me to use the word acceptance around the gift. And yet, there's been things I've had to change and alter, look at, and clearly accept. So what does acceptance mean to me, and how do I handle it? I've been praying about that for the last, probably, what have we talked about this, maybe a month? How do I really get into acceptance, and how do I form it, and how do I invite it into my life? And I guess the secret for me is to live a day at a time and to really try to stay in the moment. If I'm in the moment, first of all, I have a whole lot less to accept. All I have to have is today. And if I know that I'm given the strength sufficient unto that day, and I know that, I forget it, but I know it, I'm much better, I'm more in tune with the plan for the day. And I guess the migraine headache was part of the plan for today. I also know that if I go brain dead in a moment, which is always my fear, there are three other people up here whose brains will be alive and well, and they will be able to take over. So for today, for right now, I really am okay. And when I stay in that day and invite God into that day, I can accept what goes on. If I realize how precious the day is, my acceptance is much more filled with gratitude. Because today is so special. And I tell you, being an Al-Anon for 47 years, I have given up day after day after day to fear, to wanting it my own way, to feeling less than. And I don't give up very many days to any of those three anymore. Today is golden. It's special. It's ours. It's mine. It's my job to appreciate it, and it's my job to make it better for you. Because it's so special. This will never occur again. So when I know the goldenness, the preciousness, the specialness of today, I'm not going to give a minute of it up. Then I'm in acceptance. And I'm not in trying to run the show. And I'm not in trying to change things. I think it was the first year here, and I'm not exactly sure, and I know this is a very special weekend because a lot of us are celebrating our dear friend Sandy. He's here, and I can't stay there very long because I can't. But he's here, and I think it was the first time we were here. We had this butterfly meeting, and my memory is so poor that I'm not sure, but I think it was here. And I think our theme was the gift of a day at a time. And after we got done, it was Barbara and me and a couple of other women, and I had lunch with Sandy. And he said to me, there's more than just the acceptance of the day. And he told me a little story. And he said, if you are a full-time employee, you work 5 days a week, 9 to 5, and you make X number in your salary. And your boss calls you in and he says to you, Linda, we're going to cut your days down to 4 days. You're going to work 6-hour days, and I'm going to double your salary. What do you think? Do you say, I'll have to work on acceptance around that? And I had to have him repeat it to me because I didn't get it. I mean, I heard what he said, but the depth and the wisdom of what he said just went right over my head. He said, now, if your boss called you in and said, your days are going to be 10-hour days, we're going to cut your salary in half, what are you going to say? Oh, I'd probably have to accept that. And he said, our job is to reframe what goes on in our lives so that we no longer have to accept it, but we see it as just okay. Or, if we're lucky, we see it as better than okay. We see it as the privilege of God and the privilege of life. And I actually had to have him, I think I had Bob repeat it to me when we got back to the room, because the depth of it was profound. I get it now. I forget it, but I get it. And what I try to do is when something shows up, that I use the word around, I will have to accept that. I reframe it to be a privilege. And I reframe it like Sandy instructed me. It's an opportunity for growth, and it's certainly an opportunity for acceptance. So how do I even do that? It's through prayer and meditation. It's for taking the time in the morning and at night and frequently during the day to pray. Not for my will, but for God's will. Not for what I want to have happen, but to show up the best me in what does happen. And then trying to get quiet and be still and listen. But it's constantly, constantly, constantly reframing. And that's the gift that I got from Sandy Beach. And the way I do that is to try to stay in fit spiritual condition. Because when I'm spiritually fit, you know, I've done my exercises, my prayer and meditation exercises every day. And when I've said my prayers, the third step, which I try not to get out of bed without saying, and step 1, 2, and 3, and how can I be of service today? I've done my morning exercises. My gratitude today is profound. I'm profoundly grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for this program. This program has given me my life. It's given me who I am. It's given me glimpses of God through you. Every single day is precious. And I'm feeling really fine today. I thank you so much for the opportunity. Barbara, I thank you for your love and opportunity of being your sponsor and sharing my life with you. And I thank all of you, and I thank God that my brain did not go dead. And I guess I'm going to give this back to you.
Thank you, Linda. One of the reasons we have our next sharer with us today is because of the 30th anniversary of Lee. So be sure and and give him a hug and congratulate him on his 30th anniversary. I'm going to introduce to you Mary Pearl.
Good morning. I'm Mary Pearl. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I was really surprised because, you know, I've retired from doing all of this, you know. Thank you for asking me. Acceptance was something that I knew nothing of. You fight till you get what you want. You find a way. That's it. You just keep trying until you find the right solution to the problem. You don't have to accept anything. That's giving up, isn't it? Those are some of the things that I said to my sponsor. She said, you know, the first step is about surrender. I don't surrender. I'm a fighter. And she said, well, if you're ready to get your ass whipped, here's a place. You have to put things pretty plain, you know. That way there's no mistaking what the meaning is. But she was sadistic. She told me, she said, for you, you're going to need to accept it to the point you wouldn't change it if you could. What an order. I can't go through with it. And then you can tell the fighters in the program. Those are the ones that hurt for a very long time before they give up. And they have to do what they have to do. And I would hope that over the years I had learned to do that a little better than when I first got here. I found that in order for my life to change, I have to accept that it is the way it is. So many times we want things to change before we accept. It's so much easier if that happens. But it will mean so little to you if you do it that way. My greatest area of acceptance for a long time was in my relationship with my mother, which there wasn't a relationship. I wanted there to be one, like most kids, you know, you want your mother to love you. When I realized she didn't, then I determined that I would make her pay for that. I'd make her life as miserable as mine was. And I was very successful at doing that. My mother would say, I cannot imagine why you are the way you are. And I'd say, really? You ain't seen nothing yet. My sponsor told me, she says, what is it? And I said, I think probably over a period of time, I realized my mother and I were an awful lot alike. And usually when you find someone that you really don't like, that's you. That's that little mirror that God puts in front of you, you know. Have you ever noticed that the group has an asshole? Okay. And when that one gets better, you get another one. Have you ever noticed that? Well, that's in order for us to learn how to deal with an asshole. And if you can deal with them, you can deal with yourself. So there's always going to be one. You might as well accept it. And enjoy it as long as you can. And I told my sponsor, I said, how do you accept to the point you wouldn't change it? She said, you act as if until it becomes. You ask God each day to give you the ability to do the things you don't want to do in order to get the results that you want to get. It's a selfish program. I get out of it what I put into it. If you don't think you're getting very much out of your program, well, look at yourself and how much are you putting into it. You have to accept that you are responsible for why you are the way you are. Yeah. It wasn't my mother. You know, sooner or later, you have to give up all hope of having a better childhood. You know, When you're running around saying, I'm that way because, and you point to something else, you're lying to yourself. You're the way you are. I know when I was doing my very first inventory, there was a section there that was extremely painful, and I wrote what I wanted it to be. And then I looked at it, and I said, that's a lie. And I put an X through it. And then I wrote down my next take on the topic. And I had four or five of those with big X's, and at the bottom I wrote, I did it because, by God, I wanted to. I had to accept responsibility for myself and my actions and not blame others. I'm not here because my husband is an alcoholic. I'm not here because my grandfather, grandmother, three aunts, two uncles were alcoholic. I'm here because Mary Pearl has the family disease of alcoholism. There was never any drinking in our home. I lived with the untreated Al-Anon. I hated her. I hated everything about her. It took me a very long time to accept my mother as she was and to realize the circumstances of her life without any tools to deal with. She had done the best she could. I had also looked at my life. Many times I did the best I could, but many times I did not. Many times I wanted to blame others and not be responsible for what was going on in my life. I wanted to be a victim. God, I hate being a victim today. Because that's a big limitation you put on yourself. And it's a label that's real hard to pull off. It's a name tag. And you get a certain amount of sick satisfaction out of it for a while. And then you really get sick on it. And sicker and sicker. And I would look at my mother and I'd say, how can I accept her? She's such a bitch. I found Mother's Day is especially difficult because you got to get them a card, send them something. And back in my day, we didn't have computers, so you couldn't make your own. And that was a good thing. I have yet to go and see Hallmark say, Happy Mother's Day, bitch. Do you know what those cards say? Those cards say what mother wants to hear. It has nothing to do with how mother is. It's how mother wants to hear. And for years I sent her funny cards because I could not bring myself to send one of those cards. And after my sponsor told me I would have to accept my mother as she was, I was going to have to take the action. And she says, I want you to start acting like a loving daughter. I didn't have a clue. How do you act like a loving daughter when you aren't a loving daughter? It was in the practicing and listening to the people that had that kind of relationship, I began to do what they did. And you know what happened? You get what they got. And finally, I was able to send that Mother's Day card that said nice things. When my mother passed away and my sister and I were going through all of her belongings, not one of those funny cards was there. Every one of those sweet cards with not just Mary Pearl on the bottom, but a sentence or two, my mother had kept. You see, my mother was afraid. She wasn't a good mother. And she needed someone to tell her she was. And it had to be from the kids she felt that she had failed so miserably with. And by my accepting her and accepting myself and working on changing me, I was able to love my mother. And lo and behold, there came the day in my life when my mother looked at me and she said, I love you, baby. I've always loved you. And I never knew that. She didn't do it in the way that I would have wanted it done. But you've got to accept the gifts you get in the way they come. So that's the reason I'd rather be a giver any day, because now you're at my mercy. You get what I want you to have when I want you to have it, or you don't. But when you're giving me something, I got to take it. I don't have all those choices, you know. So you have to learn to accept, and you have to learn to accept that most things God puts on this earth are in love for you. And those problems that are unsolvable, those are the things that help you to grow. They help you to find the solutions, you know. Problems will happen that you never dream will happen. And the hardest times of my life were not in active alcoholism. They have been since I have been in the program. And God, loving me the way He does, He wouldn't let those things happen until I was with people who could help me to get through that stuff. You're in the best place, the safest place in the world. You're surrounded by people who will do anything to help you if you will accept the help. And so many of us, we don't like the package the help comes in. So we reject the help. You have to learn to accept those things. And I ask God each day to help me accept my life today just as it is. And give me the grace and dignity to get through it without being the group asshole. We all have the potential, you know. And the acceptance I learned with my mother, I never dreamed I would have to use that kind of acceptance with my sister. My sister was 16 years older than me, and she was the mother I always wanted. I just never saw it for many, many years. Well, in 1999, my sister died in the car with me as I was driving. And her kidneys shut down, and when they did, it threw her heart in a bad rhythm and it stopped. It just looked like to me she was having a heart attack. Because 45 years to that day, I had watched my daddy die of a heart attack. Thought about it that morning, you know. And here I was, and I'm looking, I'm going, Dorothy, don't do this. Dorothy, don't do this. And all of a sudden, God put an angel there in the form of a motorcycle cop. Because I was in front of the biggest mall in the state at noon on the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. The traffic was unbelievable, and I've got somebody here that needs help. And he made that traffic part like Moses did the water. And six blocks away was a hospital that had not been open 2 weeks before. And I took my sister over there, and they were able to resuscitate her. Now, the miracles of medicine, sometimes they do things that are really amazing and whatever, but do you need to do them? That is the question. Because for the next 12 years, I became my sister's keeper because she lost her memory. She was down 12 to 15 minutes before they resuscitated her. That was really hard to accept. To accept that my sister, as I knew her, was gone. All of the memory, the one thing, or two things she remembered were me and JD. Thank you, God. My sister knew who I was forever. But I went on a journey now. And I think my life's funny. Everything's in a 12. You ever notice that? For 12 years, I got to practice acceptance on a daily basis with my sister. And she got to when I would go to see her, she would say, tell me a memory. Tell me a memory. And in that moment, I would relive with my sister the wonderful moments that I had shared with her all my life. What a gift. Would never have happened if I hadn't had to do it that way. And the minute I would walk away, that memory would be gone. But you see, I had the memory of what can you do to help someone like that? You can make them feel good in the moment because really that's all we have is right now in the moment. The acceptance of my life today is I'm having to accept physical limitations that I don't like. Always being very active and going and doing, it's hard when you have some limitations, I tell you. But if you don't accept them, you'll endure more pain than you can imagine. And people say, well, you know, I said, you know, I'm 72 years old. I don't feel 72 on the inside. I got a mirror, though. That mirror has shown me many things over the years. Back before I was part of this fellowship, I would look in that mirror in the mornings and I hated the person I saw to the point that I quit looking in a mirror. If you put on makeup but you never look into the soul, you never look at yourself really. And I got here and y'all told me how to do that so that I could accept myself as I was. And once I could accept that I was the way I was, that gave me the incentive and the willingness to do what was necessary to change. Acceptance has to come before change. You know, change the things you can is not the first part. It's accept the things you cannot change. Then you change the things you can. And the thing you can is you. With God's help and the people around you, there's nothing you can't do. I had a hard time accepting God's help because I felt like when my daddy died when I was 12 and he was my everything, that God made a mistake. He should have taken her, not my daddy. And so therefore, I would turn my back on God and anything that had God in it for many, many years. And I got here and I looked at those steps and I thought, oops. This ain't going to work. Let's see, can I do the ones that don't have God in it? Well, you know, all of them pretty much have God in it. Because these are spiritual steps. These are not steps, physical steps, some kind they can be, but these are steps that you make on the inside. And they're numbered for those of us who are real smart. You know, you can't just do, well, I'll take two from column A, one from column B. No, it's not that way. And you have to accept that they are the way they are. That's like, I love the people I sponsor. Those are my kids, you know. I never could have kids because God knew little kids drive me nuts. Now, you get them up a little older, you know, and then I can deal with it. But, boy, those little ones. Today, the other day, we were in a restaurant, and I said, you know, for years on the plane. Remember when we used to fly and they had the smoking section and non-smoking section? I said, in restaurants, there ought to be the kids section and the non-kids section. Why do little babies scream for no reason? They're just sitting there and then all of a sudden they go, ah! Scares the hell out of me. But I'm pretty sure I must have... But my parents didn't take you out until you were able to behave. I will say that is a difference, you know, today. But I have to accept that life changes and it is the way it is. And if I go in and I don't want... Like I was in IHOP one afternoon with JD and the lady in the booth behind us had three children. She was by herself and I thought, that must be really difficult. And as I was flying yesterday, I looked at the number of people that were by themselves with two or three little children going every which way, and I'm thinking, my God, how do they do that? See, God knew what I could take and couldn't take. But anyway, this woman was sitting behind me, and she had a little boy sitting next to her, and next thing I know, he was on my head. And then he was down in my lap, and I wondered, you know, did she not notice that as he met? And I said, excuse me, but I think your child is over here. And she was insulted. I thought, lady, you should be so grateful that I've had 37 years. But you know, you don't have to accept things that you can change. And I asked to be reseated. It was a very simple thing. And she yelled at me and she said, you're a bitch. And I said, possibly. I found that here, y'all have taught me to look at things through a new pair of glasses. I don't have to look at those things as things that are that would ruin that. Used to, that would have ruined my 2 or 3 days. I could have won on that one. But that one, in that moment in time, when I moved, I was fine. I was fine. I was okay. I was away from it. You see, you accept the things that you can't change, but change the things that you can. And instead of bitching about it, you can do something about changing you. Because that's the only thing that I found that works for me. And I, you know, I've been married this past month. JD and I have been married 45 years. Not bad for a second marriage for both of us, you know. And we've had to learn and accept a lot of things. A lot of things. You know, when Dave was speaking up here about the little things, I thought, why? Here's my question. Why is it that men, once they take off their underwear, can't touch it again? The clothes hamper is right there. So we have tongs, you know, if he can't touch it, I'm not going to touch it. There are a lot of things when you're in a relationship that long that you have to learn to accept. Because the sooner you accept it, the happier those years are going to be. And the things that were such a big deal when I came in are not any kind of a deal today. Because we've learned how to deal with real problems, not whether the seat is up or down, you know. On all those little things. Who takes out the garbage? Who doesn't? You know, who cares? If it's something you see and it bothers you, you can do it. Well, it's not my job. Well, then don't bitch about it. It's sort of like voting. You have no right to bitch if you don't vote. And God knows I'm going to preserve my right to bitch. I want to thank y'all for having allowed me to join this panel. This was a last-minute thing, and I'm just real grateful. But I'm going to turn it over to a lady that I know does a lot of acceptance. And she's taught me a lot over the years, and it's my good friend. Here you go.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. My name is Larsine. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. What an honor to get to follow such fabulous women who have been fabulous examples to me in my life. It's who knew? You know, who knew? I always thought I was just so all alone, and there's people a lot worse than me, okay? And anyway, acceptance. I am definitely the weak link in this chain. Without a doubt, my go-to emotion is the grim determination to have things my way, and because my way is the best way. I grew up in a home where, you know, surrender is not an option. You know, it was an army home. We don't surrender. That's a bad word. And you make things happen. It's your job to make things happen. And the serenity prayer, you know, when I got here, you know, I looked, you know, accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can. That was the loophole for me, you know, because I think anything can be changed. As Merp said, you go about it, you attack it. If it doesn't work this way, then you do this and back and forth. And when you have that mindset all the time and you're, you know, that you can make things be different. And acceptance, though, I mean, really is the key. It really is the deal, because it keeps you in the now, and that's the best place to be when you can do it, and I am really, really grateful, you know, that I get this opportunity to have these, you know, these women share who have really touched me this morning with that it's not easy. I always tell people Al-Anon isn't easy. They always think it's easy, like it's the secondary AA program crapola. You know, it is not. It is a hard deal. It is a very, very difficult deal, and it's very difficult because of all the conditioning we've had as we've been affected by the disease of alcoholism. Because I'm here to tell you, when I was new in meetings, boy, I would sit in meetings and soak it up. I mean, I would hear these fabulous things that I knew it's the answer. It's the truth. The truth can't ever be denied here, and I would just... this is what I want to do so desperately. I know this is what I need to do. And yet when I would leave the meeting and on the drive home, I don't know if it all just went out the exhaust pipe of the car or how the heck that works, but I would be back home and back in my situation, and it was like, even though that would be in my mind, it hadn't gotten to my heart yet. But I would be able to do those things and practice these things in my home, which I so desperately wanted to do. And I kind of like that for the Al-Anon as the compulsion to drink for the alcoholic. You know, as much as you desperately want to do that, as much as you desperately see the answer, the difficulty, you know, and actually being able to implement that in your life, which is why it's so important to come to meetings, to hear people share, you know, that we don't come here and because we're going to be skyrockets to success right out of the gate. It's a difficult process, but it's a very, very worthwhile process. I'm too like Linda, you know, you want to say, you know, we're thinking about where I am in this and how well I am doing in this. I am not good at it. I am just not. It's just, I want to be, I really truly do. I know it's the answer. I know it's the way to go. But I, for whatever reason, my initial reaction is always to fight, you know, what can I do to make things different? You know, I was like, Scott Redmond always used to say, like, change, you know. It's not that we don't like change, it's just that we don't like change we don't like. And, you know, and I just, and that is at the absolute truth. And Linda's story about if your boss is going to double your salary, you don't have any trouble with that whatsoever, you know. But when it's something else and it's not going the way that you want it to go, isn't that the difficulty for all of us? And then I have, again, a bunch of misinformation, because it's like, if things aren't going my way, then what? Then why is God mad at me? What am I not doing right that things aren't going my way? You know, and what the reality for me is that I've stepped away from God. You know, because I'm not into acceptance of what's going on. And as everyone has so well shared here today, you know, it's just what's happening. Do I keep blowing it up bigger than what it actually needs to be? You know, but I do, because that's the nature of who I am and how I think. You know, the story I like to share is when I found out I was going to be a grandmother. I haven't been a grandmother before. I'm very thrilled about this. And since I've never been a grandmother before, you know, I made up this whole scenario about how it's all going to happen. And I decided that I had to be there when the baby's born. Don't ask me why. It's just, you know, that's when on the list I have to be there when the baby's born, because I want to be there. I don't want to miss this moment in my family. And as it turns out, you know, I know 9 months ahead of time, because they got popsicle sticks now that tell them when the baby's coming. And so, you know, the baby was going to be, you know, born around, you know, this like 5-day window. And it turns out I had all these commitments, you know, in that month that baby was going to be born. And my husband had said to me, you know, well, if you're going to be here when the baby's born, you might want to call these people and get out of those commitments. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to do that, because those are Al-Anon commitments. I'm going to keep those commitments. And then he goes, well, then you better accept that you might not be here when the baby's going to be born. And I'm not going to do that. You're full of crap, you know, and stuff. And, you know, because I got a plan. And my plan is not to tell my sponsor about it, because, you know, because it's been shared many, many times, sponsors are plan busters, okay? They just take the best plans and tear them apart. And, you know, and I can't tell my home group, because they'll rat me out to my sponsor in a heartbeat, so that doesn't go either, you know. So I go right to God. I go right to my God, you know, and I just, you know, I do the prayer. You know I'm not supposed to ask for specific stuff, and I'm not really asking for, like, a job or a car or money or none of that stuff. You know, what I really want is just for this baby not to be born on one of the weekends that I'm gone. And, you know, and I think that that's a sincere, honest, easily solved prayer by my God. And I do so much flaming frickin' service, that's the little bit of shit he can give me back, you know. And justified and rationalized. Why? Because I want it to work out this way. It doesn't hurt anybody if I get to be there when the baby's born. And guess what? I do these commitments, last one, no baby. I remember Friday morning before I leave, I call my daughter-in-law. Her first kid, nothing is happening. I'm thinking, Sunday, man, I'm gold. You know, Friday night, I'm at this dinner, my cell phone rings, Butch is on the phone, and the baby has been born. And I am pissed beyond mortal friggin' belief. I mean, I'm at this conference, oh, they're so happy to have me, and I'm like, I hate you people. You know, I mean, and of course, that's not whatever comes out, because what comes out is a sweet little smile, you know, but inside, I'm dying. I am dying. And I'm telling Butch, nobody touch that baby. Don't you even look at that baby, you know? I mean, I am insane. And so I call Carol, because Carol's my sponsor, and, you know, and I am just so angry. And I'm quitting Al-Anon. This sucks. I ask God for one little baby not to be born on the weekend. Do I get that? No. And I'll never forget, I was in so much pain. And Carol says, I'll have to call you back. Oh, thank you. You know, I mean, I don't even use you that much anymore. And when I do need you, and just into that rage, and I don't know how long it was, and it wasn't long. It was a minute or two, and my cell phone rings again, and it was Carol's sponsor on the line. And I had freaked out Carol so much, she had had to call her sponsor. That's what had gone on with that whole deal. And, you know, and I'm here to tell you, when your sponsor calls you, you have crossed the line, okay? They're bringing in the big guns to wheel you back in here, and I will never forget Charlotte. I will never forget it, because all I heard her say was, Larsine, you know, did you turn your will and your life over to the care of God today? And the answer is yes, because there's one thing I have done faithfully every single solitary day, no matter what's going on in my life, and I've learned that, you know, from just absolutely fabulous sponsorship, is just to turn, you know, you can turn your life over in 3.5 seconds every day. There's no excuse not to do that. No time, no how busy you are, you can do that. And I've done it every single day. And I told her, yes, I had. And she told me, then you are exactly where you are supposed to be, doing exactly what you are supposed to be doing. And because you made up some ridiculous thing up in your head about how you think that this is supposed to go down, you're going to take this beautiful event and turn it into a piece of crap. Never mind. You know, I mean, it's just... I got, you know, because I know, I mean, at that point, I'm 20-something years in the program. I'm coming. I'm doing the deal. I know. But by myself, I always go the grim determination to have things my way, because it's just for whatever reason, I think that that's what's going to make me happy. And what happened to me is that 23 years or whatever it was into the program, I almost took this beautiful event and did turn it into a piece of crap, because that's where I will go with it. Then I bring it to you and you show me a different way to look at it, and to get into the acceptance of this is what is. And what she said to me is, a beautiful thing happened today. You became a grandmother. Are you going to turn that into this terrible memory? You know, and I wasn't, and it was okay. And then I was able just to go on, and I got into the acceptance. And instead of being angry about being a grandmother that day because it didn't happen the way that I thought that it should, not wrapped, the gift not handed to me the way that I thought it should look. You know, and now what I remember is getting back Sunday and Butch picking me up from the airport and taking me to the hospital and holding that beautiful baby boy in my arms. And that's what it is. You know, and as many times as those things happen to me over and over and over again, you know, my humanness, you know, and again, Linda talked about my spiritual condition is exactly what it has to do with. You know, and stuff. Because, see, my thing is, you know, is I know God's really busy, because a lot of you are a lot sicker than I am, okay? And, you know, and I like to let God know, hey, I'm okay. I got it. You know, you go ahead and work on those people, because they really need you right now. I'll take care of this side of the street, you know. I always consider myself God's special agent anyway, you know. And, you know, and injustice, all those kinds of things. You know, I don't like seeing bad things happen to people I love in the program or whatever. You know, but it's, you know, and sometimes I do. I want to fight tooth and nail for what's going on and happening in their life because it terrifies me for them. But in reality, if all we're supposed to do is hold each other's hands and walk through the deal, and then it's not so bad anymore, no matter what it is. And I have seen people go through hellacious stuff here, absolutely. You know, and what ends up happening is when we join hands together and do the deal together, you know, we keep our heads high. And, you know, and it's just about living in the now, living in the moment, and accepting it for all that it is and all the beauty that's there and sometimes the pain that's there, too. It's just part of it. I don't think you can appreciate the love and joy if you haven't experienced the pain, or at least it becomes that much more precious to me. And, you know, and like I say, it goes on and on. And a few years ago, I have a granddaughter now. She was born on a Wednesday. Thank you very much. And she was 3 years old, and we have them over when we decorate our tree. And at three, I have these ornaments that I love, and I don't know why. They're not anything special. They're They're not. They're just something I'd only bought but a few years ago, and they're just. But they look like Christmas bulbs, but they're ornaments. They're shaped like Christmas bulbs, and I just, for whatever reason, I love these things, and so and she loved them too, and but when she came over and she got the box of them. Now I like my tree like I like my tree. We get a real tree every year, and there's certain stuff, and this is how it goes, and it's how it's always gone. Well, she took, like, I have about 18 of these things, and she hung every single one of them right in a row. I mean, it looked ridiculous, and it looked like a three-year-old did it, and you know, but I left them, you know, and stuff until they went home at the end of the day. And then I moved them all, everything, you know, I fixed my tree. And I don't know, a week later she comes back, and she ran right over to that tree. And none of her ornaments were there. And big tear down her cheek. Grandma, what happened? What happened? Who moved my ornaments? I go, Papa did. She believed me, because Papa would do that. So anyway, but we found all those ornaments, you know, and stuff. And again, why do I think that all this is what makes it perfect? It's not. It's not. And again, but these things happen. Oh, and it's still really difficult for me when she hangs them all in a row. Now she does it just to bug me, I know it. But it's, again, one more time, it's just the acceptance of, it's not always going to be the way that I want it to be, but there's beauty there too. You know, and sometimes the hard part for me is knowing that someone else really does, you know, I never looked at it that way. Why would I? I'm not you. A new pair of glasses, you know, I hear Merp share. I hear Linda share, Barbara share. I mean, you know, it's just this, you know, I never thought of it that way. And there's a reading in our 12 and 12 too, and I remember the very first time I read it, it said, did I ever think there was a different way to do something? And the answer was no. Never once occurred to me that someone else might have a different way to look at it. You know, and I want to make a nod also to Sandy, because, man, if there was ever a person who knew about acceptance, I mean, I don't even know what to say. Just to be in his presence always kept me right exactly there, and I can't tell you what it was he said or how he said it. It doesn't matter, you know, but he was a man who just absolutely knew the deal here and just made you glad that you just had this much of a shot. You know, and maybe picking up a little bit of what he had, because it was such a precious, precious thing. And I am always very, very grateful that I even had the opportunity to be in the same room with him and get just a little touch of what that acceptance meant. And not even just the acceptance, but how you can feel good about it, no matter what it is. Or how you can feel okay about it, I guess, is really, really the answer. So anyway, it's been my honor and privilege to be here with all of you guys today, and thanks so much.
Thank you. Just a couple last things. I thank all the ladies for sharing. I know in my own life, Dick and I have faced a lot of challenges over the last years, and even now, he has pneumonia, so keep him in your prayers this weekend. I left him sleeping this morning. But one of the things that I know that has made the difference for me is if I can start and begin my day each day looking for God's gift in that day and know that it's there, that seeking. And again, that's one of the things I remember Sandy talking about all the time. But that seeking, looking for God in my life and looking for those gifts in my life keeps me on the positive side of acceptance and not looking at the difficulties that we may face. You know, since I've been in Al-Anon, I've dealt with everything from terminal cancer to suicide to overdoses to murder to all kinds of things that you would never really imagine and that I never imagined I would deal with all of. But the gift of this program brings us together in love and unity, and I thank all of you for being here for me, and I thank all of our panel this morning. And let's all join hands and close with the Lord's Prayer.